You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WV, and then Jeff Poor filling in for Phil Williams. As just as the dude said, as I do my Phil Williams impersonation, solid conservative and just a plain right. Filling in, had a little mix-up here, so you get the impromptu Jeff Poor here on today's program. Let's see here, 833-687-4448. That's going to do that all over again. Very clunky in the very beginning here. 833-687-4448 are easier for you to dial, 833-68-RIGHT. Let me know what you're thinking out there. Coming up here in a little bit, we'll talk to my good friend. Those of you that listened to me for years, believe it or not, the same time slot, 2 to 5 on WVNN, getting to hear me again today. But we got Tom Butler coming up. That's in about a half hour. Senator Butler running for re-election, one of the more compelling state legislative races around the state right now. But he's looking in pretty solid shape. I just want to get him talking about that, you know, being in these competitive races. And this is something Senator Butler's done in the past, so he's had competitive races. So we got him coming up. That'll be interesting. And then we'll just kind of shoot the breeze from now until, I guess, Scott Buttram, who is en route, will join us. So Scott Buttram, my friend at the Trustful Tribune, who I was scheduled to be on with today. However, we had the, as we said, we had the mix-up. So maybe you'll get even more Jeff Poor. Never enough Jeff Poor on WVNN, my old stomping ground. But y'all know me from the Grand Council on Wednesdays now. And those of you regular listeners to VNN know me from Dale Jackson's show on Wednesday morning. So all that and more. Let's kick it off here. A few things. So the news cycle's really all in all sorts right now with Auburn firing Brian Harsin. The politics of Auburn University. I just every college has its politics, but Auburn is so bad at this. I'm an Auburn alum, as y'all may well know, Auburn building science degree. But just watching how this has played out, if they were going to pull the trigger here, why are they doing this now? I don't know. I know it's in a sports talk show, but you can't escape big news like that, and I mention it. Let's see here. So we're 8 days from the midterm election, and I won't, you know. Well, we'll do this. Races here in Alabama, because in Alabama we don't get a lot of competition. Everything's kind of settled in the primaries. If you live in a Democrat precinct or a Democrat district, primary is where you want to vote, runoff, and Republican vice versa. But we mentioned Tom Butler. He's got a race against Kim Lewis up in this listening area. We're paying real close attention to, and I think Senator Butler ought to pull it off. But the demographics of Huntsville are changing, lots in flux here, and you watch how typically places have growing pains, but they're not immune to the politics of the situation, and Huntsville becomes more of a federal town. Think about it like this, guys: go to work for the federal government. Are you going to be a no government conservative libertarian type, or maybe you're going to lean a little more with a belief in the power of government as a force for good in the world? Well, the Republican Party may not be for you, and you may think of yourself as a moderate or whatever, but in Alabama, you may be a Democrat. So because just how that falls on which side of the line. But there's a few races to watch, and like I said, go through them. And Senator Butler, I think one we're watching, but that the margins there are what you're going to be more interested in. There's one down my way, so I'm also forgot to mention this. Who the hell is this again? Those of you that aren't regular listeners to WVNN, or I am Jeff Poor. I do a show in Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. They named it the Jeff Poor Show, and I said, well, that's great. I know a guy named Jeff Poor, and filled the void there. But that being said, there's one down my way, Pete Ream, a guy running against Vivian Davis Figures, who has been in the Alabama Senate for a long time. They redrew her district after reapportionment, and a lot of these Democrat districts are losing population. So what they're doing is, well, they're having to reapportion with a lot of Republicans to meet the criteria. I mean, Alabama itself is growing, but where it's growing and where it's losing population and just not really working with the district lines. So that's one to watch. As like I said, Huntsville's growing. Some of these Democrat districts are shrinking, and there's the rub, right? You know, we always talk about the college towns. What I mean by that, Auburn and Tuscaloosa specifically. Might we see some movement there? All these places where Doug Jones did well in the 2017 election, those are places you're going to want to watch. Are they trending blue, or was it just was that just an anomaly? And, you know, as that goes, we'll know, have a clear picture about what to expect in Alabama politics for the next decade or so. So other than that, I won't bore you anymore with those races. But also Montgomery has won Charlotte Meadows. It's a state house seat that's up for grabs. But other than that, you know, we're looking at, I guess we're all focused on national politics and which way things are going to go there. Pennsylvania, obviously, Oz and Fetterman. I think Oz is finally getting his groove. You know, he's kind of a fish out of water through the primary and in the early stages of the general. That one's feeling a little more solid to me. I'm not a big believer in Arizona. Those of you that are Blake Masters fans out there, I don't know. Arizona seems a little lost. McCain won that state every year just by virtue of being John McCain. And I know they have some solid members of Congress in Arizona on the Republican side. But watching that one, Mark Kelly, Blake Masters, that's a tough one. A lot of people think Nevada will be contentious. I don't know about that. I think Adam Laxalt, pretty solid there. But the last one, the one that's probably closest to us that we ought to watch is obviously Raphael Warnock, Herschel Walker. I am just not convinced right now that Georgia is gone blue, that it's lost forever, but it is in jeopardy. There's no question about it. 2020 was not an anomaly. Biden wins it in the Electoral College, and then obviously Raphael Warnock, John Ossoff there. In Georgia, they win those two Senate seats. Had Doug Collins, you all know who Doug Collins is. He was a congressman, got involved in that Senate race. Had he stayed out, it might have changed the course of history. First off, because Kelly Loeffler would have won that race, she would have been U.S. Senator, and it would be 51-49 in the Senate, and a lot of things would be different today than they were. But they're not, and we can go Pat Dye, hindsight's 50-50. But anyway, I'm one of these guys that typically errs on the side of, oh, let's run a rogue candidate, but sometimes you just have to go with the establishment, and that was probably would have been the right move for Georgia 2 years ago, but it isn't. And they went to the runoff, and then there was buyer's remorse, I guess, coming out of whatever happened with Donald Trump and the 2020 presidential election. So here we are today. We are having the potential for another Democrat win in Georgia. Raphael Warnock, not an aspiring politician by any means, but Herschel Walker, you would think, has the brand name of Georgia football, Georgia athletics, but hit some bumps in the road there. So watching that. All right, well, let's get a break in here. It is time for that. So I'm going to toss it down the line, and we'll be right back on the other side. This is Right Side Radio. Jeff Poor filling in for Phil Williams for the moment. Welcome back to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Jeff Poore filling in for Phil Williams for the time being. Get in on the action here, 833-687-4448. 833-68-RIGHT. That's when you want to jump in if you got anything you want to say. Turn up your voice, whatever the whatever cliche you wish to use. I saw Senator Marsha Blackburn in the area today. Katie Britt, big rally for Katie over in Madison. This is important stuff for those of you that are kind of political watchers here. But so you know, I'm so sick of hearing about how we're going to we're really going to regret that we're losing Senator Shelby, yada yada yada. Oh, fine. I mean, you know, he's retiring, but you're losing all the seniority, and you know, Alabama's going to be in a bad place. If you believe that, that's fine. I tend to err on the side of we don't really need to be government. You know, we don't need government to be successful in Alabama. But if you want to start building from the ground, and you're starting all over, two very junior senators in Tuberville and Britt. I think Katie Britt will win the she will beat Will Boyd on November 8th. But if you're looking at this is sort of the thing you want to see, where she's getting a lot of the making these relationships with other senators around the country, other Republicans, raising money for them. And not to sound like I'm being too much of a Katie Britt super fan here, but she's able to raise money and win over friends. It won't be long until she works her way up into leadership. And I predict this. She will be kind of one of the people you want to meet. So I was in D.C. for 8 years. I know how these people are. I get it, but she has the potential to be this a star, and people are going to go want to meet her very early. One of the youngest ones, school age kids, only going to be the only U.S. senator with school age kids, and has this different perspective in the media. She'll be on Fox News a bunch. She will be able to raise pillowcases full of money for Republicans. That's important, and if you do that, that's how you start winning friends. You start helping their reelection bids. You look toward 2024. It is going to be a lot. There are a lot of Democrats who are playing defense, and they're gonna have to run with the baggage of Joe Biden. So look at the long game here, 24 and beyond. And she and Tuberville, I think Tuberville the same. I think that they kind of they tag team it here. They'll be back relevant. They won't be backbenchers long. Well, Tuberville probably needs to stay away from Trump rallies for the time being. Those of you that caught that, Tommy Tuberville at a Laxalt event that Donald Trump was hosting and started talking about reparation. And I think he was totally misquoted and totally given the wrong, no benefit of the doubt whatsoever, just a very opportunistic left-wing media. But the point I'm making here is why take a chance? Why take the risk? What do you gain from that? Do you help the cause? Otherwise, get him in a room full of people. He gives the good locker room speech, red meat. I said this a lot during the 2020 cycle. He connects with voters. He connects with people. He reads the room really well. That's important. And then Katie is just going to have an appeal. Like I go to these Republican events, and every time I see her at an event, there's a line of people wanting to get their picture made with her. That's no small thing. So you start building that credibility from the bottom up, and you start raising money, and you build, you get on the right committees, and it won't be long. Shelby will have been in the rearview mirror, and we'll be fine. But you like to see what we saw today. The one thing, a Katie Britt flex here, if you will, seeing her with all these lawmakers from North Alabama, the power, the center of power in this state for right now, this is coming from a Mobile guy. once upon a time was a Huntsville guy, but now a Mobile guy, the center of power in the state's northern half of the state. There's no question about it. It's the northern half of the state because you got the lieutenant governor from North Alabama. You got the attorney general from Gunnersville. You look at Speaker of the House could go either way. There's a speaker's race. You add Mac McCutcheon, Speaker McCutcheon, but it'll either be Nathaniel Ledbetter or Steve Klaus. Steve Klaus got a real shot at this thing, I feel like, starting to hear some buzz there. But aside from that, center of power, the Speaker of the House right now from North Alabama, the Senate Majority Leader from North Alabama in Clay Schofield, and the Senate Pro Tem, the President of the Alabama Senate from Jasper, Walker County, sort of North Alabama. What do you have in South Alabama right now? A couple of budget committee chairmen and not a lot of statewide politicians. People want to say that Wilcox County and Kay Ivey is South Alabama. I don't think so. But the power has shifted. This is a phenomenon of the last, probably 15, 20 years, but it's gradually moved north. And my friend Rusty Glover down in Mobile explained it to this. He's a former state senator, ran for lieutenant governor, and then he ran for state auditor. But if you draw a line through the middle of Alabama, right through the dead center of it, there's just more Republicans in the northern part of the state than there is in the southern part of the state. There's a lot more Democrats in the southern part of the state, but you caucus, and you got to caucus with your neighbor. And aside from that, the BP oil settlement, it left a lot of those South Alabama guys, I could call them the Hope Hole Caucus, left them a little bit, so there's just, we still haven't gotten past that, even though it seems like forever ago. But the balance of power, really, guys, North Alabama is the place to be in politics, from my perspective, watching this, how it all sort of is working through the system. So that is that's important because there's a lot of good things going on up this way. 833-687-4448, 833-68-RIGHT. Coming up in the next segment, you're going to want to stick around for Tom Butler, state senator. We know him from Madison. Used to be, those of you that listen to the old Jeff Poor show on VNN back in the day, was my regular Monday guest. So we would have him on, and then Mike Ball, who is leaving office, or has probably already left office, were my regulars on this program. So maybe the next time I have the impromptu fill-in host, we'll get the band back together, and we'll get Representative Ball. But anyway, let us know what you're thinking, talking elections, talking other things in the news. We can pick up on that as the show goes along. I'm going to toss it to break here. This is Right Side Radio. Jeff Poor filling in for Phil Williams here on WVNN. To Right Side Radio, Jeff Poor, fill it in for Phil Williams for the time being this Monday afternoon. 833-687-4448 if you want to weigh in. I tell you what, let's get a call in here, and I think we're going to get Tom. Let's get Mark from Madison. Mark, what's on your mind?
WVNN for a while, and I would consider myself a right side ruffian, but I would say I'm a little disheartened at times because, you know, you and you being in the media, I don't know if you would want this or not, but it just seems like that there's going to have to be some accountability in the media. And I'm hoping that a lot of these stories, I mean, like the Paul Pelosi story, whether or not it's true or not, but like you look at this and some people are saying that, you know, this guy broke into his house, but he was found in his underwear and the story doesn't add up. You got the Hunter Biden stuff. Do you feel like that eventually the media is going to have to be held accountable for what they say and what they don't say? Because a lot of this stuff, it's like, you know, I was hanging out with my family is primarily Democrat. I'm probably the black sheep in my family. But I've even talked to them like this weekend, and I was just like, at what point do you just say, yeah, I understand I'm going to have some of these Democrat values, but I can't associate with the craziness that's going on from the, you know, the drag show book readings and all these things. And, you know, I've got some of my cousins are like, they're seeming like they're ready to jump, you know, from the Democrat Party with some of these hard lines. But do you see that? Because I'm kind of frustrated at the point. I'm just like, when's the dam going to break? You know, it feels like it has to.
I mean, Mark, your point, the problem is the media, I'm not part of this part of the media, but they run cover for these guys. I think that the media is just as a big component of this. There's such a double standard. Everything is so asymmetrical. But I don't know. I don't know if there's a solution aside from, you know, what are you going to do? It's just going to take conservatives kind of play by their set of rules. But I don't know if we're quite prepared for that.
Yeah, you know, it seems like I said, I know the Paul Pelosi thing is kind of crazy, but I mean, if it was the case where, let's say, it turns out that this guy, that there was some kind of, you know, lover craziness thing going on, and the media has completely ignored that fact, it would almost be like tampering with a criminal type investigation. I mean, this guy, they're going to hold him for a felony, but what if he was really in some relationship? I mean, it's, to me, it seems like some of the situation to me, they could almost be held to like a criminal thing. If you hide something.
Mark, I'd say I just caution you. I give people the benefit of the doubt, even Paul Pelosi on this. But hey, Mark, thanks for the call. We got to get to our next guest, Senator Butler, joining us on the phone. Senator Tom Butler, running for re-election. Senator, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Jeff, how are you doing? It's good to hear from you.
Doing well. Hey, thanks for jumping on in such short notice. You know how these things can be sometimes impromptu. But, I wanted to get you on. I want to talk about your campaign, one that I'm really watching closely. But I'm eager to hear about how things are going for you.
Well, we're working hard, one foot in front of the other every day. We're doing all the fundamentals plus things. We've been door-to-door. We've got radio, TV, billboards. Mail outs going. I have been to every organized meeting that I can get to on my schedule, and I feel fairly well about it. But I won't be letting up till the last vote is cast on Tuesday the 8th.
You've done a lot of things, I think, in your reemergence coming back to the Senate, but there's some unfinished business, I assume. Highways, 565 came along in a hurry, but what are you looking for in this term, should you win on November 8th?
Well, right now, Governor Ivey came up and just a few months ago, about 3-4 months ago, and announced 3 highway projects all in my district. Because of the growth in North Alabama, with a great number of jobs we've come in with the military, NASA and Army, we've got Space Command coming to this area. There are just so many things. The FBI Cyber Command is coming. With so many jobs coming in, the growth has been phenomenal. One of our biggest needs is working on congested highways. The governor came here and announced Highway 53 that goes from Huntsville to the state line, Highway 72 that goes from down Huntsville all the way through the western state line, and I-565, the final widening of it. The governor has announced those three projects, and I am so happy that she did. One of the things I want to do in this next term is make sure those projects and the growth continue. And I went out to Highway 72 the other day and actually found engineers out there doing their survey work, so I felt real good about that.
That Highway 53 project, ever since longer, but I remember it as a child. It's a treacherous stretch of road from Ardmore all the way, just because it's at such a weird angle. But finally got to see some action on that, it looks like.
That's the governor has come here and announced that, and obviously the governor hires the highway director, and her priorities become paramount for the state. So in announcing those three road projects, including Highway 53, was a blessing for the whole area up here. It is a dangerous, treacherous stretch, and there have been a lot of accidents, a lot of deaths on that highway. So I was very pleased to see that reach her high priority list. And that, among other issues, we're working on daily.
Joined by State Senator Tom Butler here on the program, good friend of mine, and always glad to get him on air. Senator, let's talk about Huntsville booming. This is obviously, I tell people about this all the time down my way, but well, a lot of state investment, I think, has really enabled that. It's always been kind of a thriving place intellectually, but now you're starting to see the benefits of that.
Well, we are, and with the announcement nationally a few years ago that Space Command would come here at Huntsville, Alabama, instead of going to Colorado, was a big, big win for the state of Alabama. But as far as Space Command goes, all the assets that they really needed were already located here. They needed a close connection with NASA, the Marshall Space Flight Center here. You don't go to Mars without coming through Marshall first. And we've got Redstone Arsenal and the U.S. Army here in a big command. So we've got everything that they need for Space Command, and I think that helped us win out over Colorado.
Senator, we get to this new quadrennium. It's always like big picture stuff, I guess, is the topic. But what do you foresee that looking like? Leadership stays the same in the Senate. Downstairs going to be a little different. Do you know what we should expect coming up in 2023?
Well, it's going to be very interesting, and I'm keeping a close eye on that. Obviously, I've got to win my election first. That is looking good. We're working day-to-day to do all the fundamentals. But leadership, I think the Senate leadership stays the same. Obviously, in the House, Speaker McCutcheon is retiring. Quite frankly, he is one of my House members, and I'm pleased to, when someone asked in Montgomery, who is your House member, I said, it's the Speaker. So I've always been pleased to say that. Speaker McCutcheon, Mac, has done a wonderful job leading the House in his terms as Speaker, and I'm going to miss him personally and collegially working in the legislature. But leadership will play down there a little bit. We think that North Alabama's Nathaniel Ledbetter, Representative Ledbetter, will become the next Speaker of the House. And that will make it very good for all of Alabama, but particularly North Alabama. And I count Nathaniel as a personal friend, and I look forward to working with him.
Is it going to be the same gambling discussion? I assume we'll see maybe something, try to do something on education, tax rebates or tax cuts, to kind of the usual stuff that you're going to be dealing with, you think?
Well, as far as gambling, I came in 1982. One of the big issues then was gambling, and it's been every year we have gambling legislation introduced, and it usually goes by the wayside, giving way to our paramount issues like support in education, our veterans, and our farmers, and protecting the Second Amendment. But I think education will continue to be a big push in the legislature, from pre-K all the way through PhD levels. And one thing that we have announced up here, we are getting a new engineering building at UAH that will serve, well, quite frankly, Space Command that's coming in, and all the engineering work that's done by NASA and in Research Park. We're being very blessed, and that would be a big asset, having that new engineering complex at the University of Alabama in Huntsville.
Hey, Senator, we'll let you go on this, but in case folks aren't familiar with you, and I don't know why they should be if they aren't, but they want to get a Facebook page or something you could plug here so we could get caught up before Election Day?
SenatorTomButler.com will get us, and I'm on Facebook as Senator Tom Butler. That's a good way to get me, and the website, Facebook, those are two good ways to get me, and if they email me at senbutler@aol.com, I answer my own email. So I'm glad to get that, and pleased to be in contact with the folks in Alabama.
Senator, thanks for coming on in such short notice, but best of luck to you if I don't talk to you before now on Election Day.
Jeff, thank you. I appreciate the good job you do, and keeping everybody informed. You've always done a great job on the radio.
You're very, very kind. All right, guys, let's take it to break here. We'll pick it up on the other side. This is Right Side Radio. Jeff Poore filling in for the legendary Phil Williams. Welcome back to Right Side Radio. Jeff Poore filling in for, I guess, Scott Buttram, who is filling in for Phil Williams. They looked down the list. They said, well, we couldn't get this guy, so we'll get this guy. And But Scott ought to be with us here shortly, so you ought to be looking forward to that. 833-687-4448 is easier said, 833-68-RIGHT, R-I-G-H-T, on your alphanumeric keypad. So that is how you get in touch with the program. So Jeff Poore, who are you, Jeff Poore? Find me at twitter.com/Jeff_Poore. Some of you old-time listeners may remember me from about, gosh, I guess it was the very beginning of 2019, the very first Monday of 2019 through... yeah, August of 2020. About that, I was on it this time, 2 to 5 p.m. on WVNN, filling in. Well, not filling in for anybody, but I had my own show then. But anyway, so I'm back. It's kind of like when every time I come on VNN to get to fill in, it's like they fired Norm MacDonald from. I didn't get fired. I did leave on my own terms. But Norm MacDonald got fired from Saturday Night Live. And he comes back to be the guest host, right? Or he goes back to host the show. It feels a little bit like that sometimes. But it's always good to be back on in Huntsville. You can hear me on Right Side Radio on usually on Wednesdays. We do the Grand Council, Dale Jackson and Phil, when we're all together, which is typically every Wednesday. I'll run this by you real quick. I know we're kind of short on time, but Todd Stacy, Inside Alabama Politics, his newsletter is fantastic. It's like $3 a month or something. I don't know how much it is, but it's worth it. He's got a Signal poll out today, and I won't give away too much other than to tell you the Libertarians are not doing as well as maybe they had hoped. They need to get, you know, in that 25% range in the governor's race, and then another race down ballot to get ballot access down the line. However, they, according to this poll, are struggling a little bit in some races, barely single digits. But here's something that I found really interesting. They did approval disapproval. Did y'all know this? That that it appears that Governor Ivey, at least according to this poll, is more popular than Donald Trump in Alabama. Over under, when you evaluate the favorable unfavorable, she has a higher favorable rating and a lower unfavorable rating. So I think this seems to be a new development. It's not something the Ivy folks are necessarily going to want to tout. I think that might draw the ire of somebody, you know, maybe Donald Trump himself. But, you know, deep down, so they did it, and they evaluated Joe Biden. He's like at a negative 36 favorability in Alabama. Donald Trump at a 22%, Kay Ivey at a 25%, Ainsworth and Marshall at 12% respectively. But they don't have really high knowns. They still got to get known. We know them because it's the AG and the lieutenant governor, but you get outside of like a listening audience like this, and – it gets way more. It gets way more hard. It gets more difficult to measure, and you just have to go out to, you know, get to know your campaign. But Governor Ivey riding high right now, especially as we head into the, election cycle, and not that she was ever in danger. I think you have a very weak. My thinking on this was this, guys: you have a very weak Democrat candidate. And you have a Libertarian candidate, Jimmy Blake, well known in Birmingham, was a fixture in Birmingham city politics back during what was the Arrington's administration. So he got to be known as like kind of the contrarian there, and he won a lot of people, kind of, you know, won them over. And I thought just name recognition alone would position him to do a little bit better, but 4.7%. And I said, a weak candidate on the Democrat side of Yolanda Flowers. Just no money, not a lot of – just it's all grassroots, all her going around the state. And she probably didn't do herself any favors coming out of the chute there by saying she was pro-life. So anyway. Well, it looks like Scott Buttram has made it in time. So you're not going to get much more of me here. You're probably thinking, like, good Lord, that was rough. But Scott Buttram, Trustful Tribune, great guy. He knows a lot of stuff. So you're going to want to stick around for the next couple of hours for that. He's a regular on my show, so I'm always, always glad to get him on. So, yeah, a lot of stay tuned, don't go nowhere. A little mix-up there, but I filling in for Phil Williams. Other than that, guys, one word of wisdom here. If I leave you, depart for you. Well, watch election night, and here's what you need to watch for. Watch for those early returns, and look at the margins. Don't ignore the media on election day. They're always wrong. They're always going to come out in favor of the Democrats. Even their rotten, stupid, exit polls are always wrong. What you want to watch, guys, those early returns coming in from the Eastern time zone. That's going to tell you what kind of night you're going to get. Anyway, it's been a pleasure, guys. I will catch you on Wednesday. Stay tuned for Scott Buttram. This has been Jeff Poore filling in for Scott Buttram. He's filling in for Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right.